beneath hurt and grief disappears into emptiness with a thousand new disguises. Whoever finds love beneath hurt and grief disappears.
Hello, everybody. This is Osho Radio. Welcome, everybody. And we hope you enjoy the beautiful music and the lecture of Osho that you'll be hearing soon.
Into emptiness with a thousand new disguises.
India, India, mother of a thousand sons, home to everyone who sleeps in your arms. India, India, show me the golden rule. I'm coming home to you, deep in my heart, with the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. You are such a surprise, magic still alive, forever mesmerized. India, India, keeper of eternal flames, land of many names, the golden bird never tames. With the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, they whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. India, India, incredible India, 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 incredible India.
Sky of the sky of the sky of the sky. me, over me, over me, over me.
I am the Lamb, I am the Lamb.
Again and again,
I am the Lamb, I am the Lamb.
Again and again,
I am the Lamb, I am the Lamb.
Again and again,
I am the Lamb,
again.
The lecture by Osho this week is from the series The Heart Sutra. It's number 5. The lecture is about emptiness, about nothingness. There are 7 doors through which the ego enters in. And if you understand these 7 doors, the ego can be sent out again. Then nothingness arises.
When you act out of your nothingness, the action has a totally different quality to it. It is divine. It is godly. Why? Because when you act out of nothingness, it is not a reaction. When you act out of nothingness, it is not a plan. When you act out of nothingness, it is not rehearsals. When you act out of nothingness, it is spontaneous. Then you live moment to moment. You are a nothingness. But how can you be spontaneous if the ego is there? Before we enter into the sutra, few things about this ego, the illusion of the self, has to be understood. First thing, the ego is not a reality. It is just an idea. You don't come with it when you come into the world. You don't bring it with yourself. It is not part of your being. When a child is born, he does not bring the ego in the world. The ego is something that he learns. It is not part of genetics. Gordon Allport calls the self proprium, and it can be defined by considering the adjective form propriate, as in the word appropriate. Proprium refers to something that belongs to or is unique to a person. The self is created because each nothingness is unique. Each nothingness has its own way of flowering. Because of this uniqueness, the possibility of creating an ego. I love in my way, you love in your own way. I behave in my way, you behave in your own way. There is a difference between people, but only difference. The rose flower flowers in one way, and the marigold in another. But both flower, the flowering is the same. The nothingness is the same. But each nothingness functions in a unique way. Because of this, there is a possibility to create the ego. There are 7 doors from where the ego enters in. 7 doors from where we learn the ego. Those doors have to be understood. Because if you understand them, you will be able to drop the ego. Because those doors, understood perfectly well, can be closed. Then the ego is created no more. Seen rightly, understood perfectly well that the ego is just a shadow, it starts disappearing on its own. The first door, Allport calls the bodily self. We are not born with a sense of self. The child in the mother's womb has no sense of the self. He is one with the mother. He is utterly one, joined, bridged with the mother. And the mother is his whole existence, his cosmos. He does not know that he is separate. The separation comes when the child comes out of the womb. And when his bridge with the mother is cut. And the child has to breathe on its own. In fact, the breathing is not something that the child is going to do. How can he do? He cannot even breathe yet, so he is not yet there. The breathing happens. It is not that the child is doing it. It is a happening. it comes out of nothingness. The child starts breathing. Those few seconds are very, very valuable, critical, dangerous. The parents, the doctor, the nurses who are looking after the birth, all are in a great waiting whether the child is going to breathe or not. The child cannot be forced, the child cannot be persuaded, and the child cannot do anything on its own. If it is going to happen, it is going to happen. It may not happen, it may happen. Sometimes children never breathe. Then we think they are born dead. It is miraculous how the child breathes the first breath. He has never done it before. He cannot be prepared for it. He does not know that the mechanism exists to breathe. The lungs have not functioned ever before. But the breath comes and the miracle starts. But the breath is coming out of nothingness, remember. Later on you will start saying that I am breathing. That is absurd. You are not breathing. Breathing is happening. Don't create the idea of I. Don't say I am breathing. Nobody is breathing. That is not within your capacity to do or not to do. You can try. Stop breathing for a few seconds and you will know that it is difficult to stop either. Within seconds, a grace rush from nowhere comes and you start breathing again. Or stop the breathing outside. Try for a few seconds and suddenly you see a great rush. It is beyond you. The breathing wants to come in. It is nothing that is breathing in you. Or you can call it God. It makes no difference. It is the same. Nothing or God, they mean the same. Nothing exactly means in Buddhism what God means in Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism. God is a nothing. We are not born with a sense of self. It is not part of our genetic endowment. The infant is not able to distinguish between self and the world around it. Even when the child has started breathing, it takes months for him to become aware that there is a distinction between his inside and the outside. Gradually, through increasing complex learning and perceptual experiences, a vague distinction develops between something in me and other things out there. This is the first door from where the ego enters. The distinction that something in me, for example, the child feels hunger. He can feel it coming from inside. And then the mother slaps the child and he can feel it is coming from the outside. Now a distinction is bound to be felt by and by, that there are things which come from inside and there are things which come from outside. When the mother smiles, he can see the smile is coming from there. And then he responds, he smiles. Now he can feel the smile is coming from within, somewhere inside. The idea of inside and outside arises. This is the first experience of the ego. In fact, there is no distinction between the outside and the inside. The inside is part of the outside and the outside is part of the inside. The sky inside your house and the sky outside your house are not two skies, remember. They are one sky. And so is the case. You there and I here are not two. We are two aspects of the same energy. Of two aspects of the same coin. But the child starts learning the ways of the ego. The second door is self-identity. The child learns its name, realizes that the reflection in the mirror today is of the same person as the one seen yesterday, and believes that the sense of me or self persists in the face of changing experiences. The child goes on knowing that everything changes. Sometimes he is hungry, sometimes he is not hungry, sometimes he is sleepy and sometimes he is awake, and sometimes he is angry and sometimes he is loving. Things go on changing. One day it is a beautiful day, another day it is dark and dismal, but he stands before the mirror. Have you watched a small baby sitting before a mirror? He tries to catch hold of the child inside the mirror because he thinks the child is outside there. If he cannot catch hold, then he goes around and looks at the back of the mirror. Maybe the child is hiding there. But by and by, he starts knowing that it is he who is reflected. And then he starts feeling a kind of continuity. Yesterday also it was the same face. Today it is also the same face in the mirror. When for the first time children look into the mirror, they become fascinated with the mirror. They don't leave it. They go again and again to the bathroom to look who they are. Everything goes on changing. One thing seems to be unchanging, the self-image. The ego has another door from where it is entering, the self-image. The third door is self-esteem. This is concerned with the child's feeling of pride as a result of learning to do a thing on its own. Doing, exploring, making. When a child learns anything, for example, he has learned a word, daddy, then he goes on, daddy, daddy, the whole day. He does not miss a single opportunity when he can use the word. When the child starts learning to walk, he tries the whole day. He falls again and again. He stumbles. He is hurt. But again he stands. Because it gives a pride that I can also do something. I can walk. I can talk. I can carry things from here to there. The parents are very much worried because the child is a disturbance. He starts carrying things. They can't understand that why, for what, why you have taken that book from there. The child is not interested in the book at all. It is all nonsense for him. He cannot conceive why you go on looking in this thing continuously. What you are searching there. But his interest is different. He can carry a thing. The child starts killing animals, an ant, and he will jump on it and kill it. He can do something. He is enjoying doing. He can become very destructive. If he finds the clock, he will open it. He wants to know what is inside. He becomes an explorer, inquirer. He enjoys doing things because that gives a third door to his ego. He feels proud. He can do. He can sing a song. Then he is ready to sing the song to anybody. Come any guest and he is present there waiting somebody to give a hint so he can do the song. Or he can dance. Or he can do a mimicry or something, whatsoever it is. He wants to do something to show that he is not just helpless, that he can also do. This doing brings ego in. Fourth is self-extension, belonging, possession. The child speaks of my house, my father, my mother, my school. He starts increasing the field of mine. Mine becomes his key word. If you take his toy, he is not interested much in the toy. He is much interested that the toy is mine. You cannot take it. Remember, he is not interested much in the toy. When nobody is interested, he will throw the toy in the corner and will escape to play outside. But once somebody wants to take it, he does not want to give it. It is his mind. Mind gives a sense of me. Me creates I. And remember, these doors are not only for children, they remain your whole life that way. When you say, my house, you are being childless. When you say, my wife, you are being childless. When you say, my religion, you are being childless. When a Hindu starts fighting with the Mohammedan for the religion, they are children. They don't know what they are doing. They have not really become mature and grown up. Children are constantly arguing that my daddy is the greatest daddy in the world. And so the priests go on fighting that my concept of God is the best, the most powerful, the real. Others are just so-so. These are very childish attitudes, but they linger around you your whole life. You are very much interested in your name. When I change people's name, few people are very stubborn, they don't want. Few people write letters to me that I want to take sannyas, but please don't change my name. Why? My name seems to be something like a great wealth. And there is nothing in the name, but for 30 years, 40 years, your ego has survived with that name. It is very difficult for the ego to close a door. That's why the name is changed, so that you can see that name is arbitrary. It can be changed any day. And that's why I change your name without any fuss about it. In other religions, name is also changed. If you become a Jaina monk, they will make much fuss about it. A great procession and celebration. Somebody is becoming a monk. No, he will become very much attached with this new name. So much celebration and so much festivity and so much honor and respect, so much fuss about it. Then the whole point is lost. I simply change it as a matter of fact. Just to give you an idea that it is nothing, it is arbitrary, it can be changed very easily. You can be called A, you can be called B, you can be called C, it doesn't matter. In fact, you are nameless. That's why it doesn't matter. Any name will do. It is only utilitarian. The fifth door is self-image. This refers how the child sees himself through interaction with parents, through praise and punishments. He learns to have a certain image of himself, good or bad. The child is always looking how the parents react to him. If he is doing a certain thing, they praise it or they punish him. If he feels punished, he thinks, I have done something wrong. I am bad. If he does something good and is praised, he thinks, I am good. I am appreciated. He starts trying to do more and more good, so that he is appreciated. Or, if the parents are really very difficult and impossible people, and their demands are such that the child cannot fulfill, then he takes the other route. He starts doing all that they call bad. He reacts and rebels. These are the two ways. The door is the same. Either you praise him and he feels good that he is somebody, or if you don't praise him easily, then he says, okay, then I will show you. Then also he will make his presence felt. He will start destroying things, he will start smoking, he will start doing things which you don't like. And he will say, now you see, you have to take my note. You have to notice me. You have to know that I am somebody and I am here. And you cannot just neglect me. The good guy and the bad guy are born this way. The saint and the sinner. The sixth self as reason. The child learns ways of reason, logic, arguments. He learns that he can solve problems. Reason becomes a great support to his self. That's why people argue. That's why educated people think they are somebody's. Uneducated, and you feel a little embarrassed. You have a great degree. You are a PhD or a D.Litt. And you go on showing, exhibiting your certificate. You are a gold medalist. You have topped the university and this and that. Why? Because you are showing that I have become a rational being. Well educated. Educated in the best of the universities. Educated by the best of the professors. I can argue better than anybody else. Reason becomes a great support. And the seventh, appropriate striving. Life, goal, ambition, becoming. What and who one is, through what or who one wants to become. Future concern. Dreams and long-range goals appear. The last stage of the ego. Then one starts thinking what to do in the world to leave a mark in the history, to leave the signature here on the sands of time, to become a poet, to become a politician, to become a Mahatma, to do this or to do that. And life is running fast, is slipping fast, and one has to do something, otherwise soon one will become nothing. And nobody will ever know that you had existed. One wants to become an Alexander or a Napoleon. If it is possible, one wants to become a good guy, famous, well-known, a saint, a Mahatma. If it is not possible, then too one wants to become somebody. Many murderers have confessed in the courts that they had not murdered somebody because they were interested in murdering him, but just they wanted their names on the front page of the newspapers. A man murdered somebody from the back. He came and snapped him. And he has not even seen the man before. It was absolutely unknown to him. They were not acquainted. There was no friendship, no enmity. He had never met. And this time also he had not seen his face. Whom he has murdered, he has not seen him. He simply murdered him from the back. The man was sitting on the beach looking at the waves, and this man comes and kills him. The court was puzzled. But the man said, I was not interested in the man himself whom I killed. It was irrelevant. Anybody would have done. I had gone there to kill somebody. If this man was not there, then anybody else. But why? And he said, because I wanted my photo and my name on the front page of the newspapers. My desire is fulfilled. I am talked all over the country. I am happy. Now I am ready to die. If you sentence me to death, I can die happily. I was known. I was famous. If you cannot become famous, you try to become notorious. If you cannot become Mahatma Gandhi, you would like to become Adolf Hitler. But nobody wants to remain a nobody. These are the seven doors through which the illusion of the ego strengthens, becomes strong and strong. And these are the seven doors, if you understand, the ego has to be sent out again. Slowly, slowly, from each door, you have to look deep into your ego and say goodbye to it. Then arises nothingness.
Meditation for today is called Your Only Wealth. Remember, only that which you can take with you when you leave the body is important. That means, except meditation, nothing is important. Except awareness, nothing is important, because only awareness cannot be taken away by death. Everything else will be snatched away, because everything else comes from without. Only awareness wells up within. That cannot be taken away. And the shadows of awareness, compassion, love, they cannot be taken away. They are intrinsic parts of awareness. You will be taking with you only whatsoever awareness you have attained. That is your only real wealth.
Loved so true.
This was Osho Radio for this week. We invite everybody to participate in this program of Osho Radio. Send us your feedback or your MP3 music, and you'll be with us on Osho Radio. Until next week, bye bye.
Thank you.